There are many different people who believe many different things about the one person, Jesus. Or maybe they emphasize one thing over another for a different purpose. Even well-meaning Christians, we can do this. We can highlight one thing over another. Even today, it's Halloween, you know, October 31st. It's the day we're transferring our feast day, St. Simon and Jude. It's also the anniversary of the beginning of the Protestant Reformation that caused a lot of division in the church when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on this day some 500 years ago on a cathedral in Germany. And so there are so many different things that we often emphasize about Jesus's life, things that he did, titles that we give him. Some want to highlight him as teacher, rabbi. He came to teach and to show a new way of understanding. He certainly did that. Some highlight him as a miracle worker. He did spectacular things that nobody else had ever done. Some highlight him as a healer. He would heal the sick and eradicate infirmities in different individuals' lives. Some would see him as a holy man, as someone like in the gospel today would go up on a mountain and pray to the Father, that he was a holy man, he was revered. Some might see him as someone who was ready to have a good time. His first miracle, you might remember, at the wedding feast of Cana, when he turned all that water into all that wine. Somebody you might want to have over to your house for your Halloween party. We highlight lots of different titles, lots of different things that Jesus did. I don't think any of these individually, though, really hit the mark of who he was in his identity, which led to his mission. What was the mission of Jesus, and who was he in that mission? There are two titles that I would highlight today that get to this level of depth in who Jesus was and the why of why he came. Why did he heal? Why did he do miracles? Why did he teach? Why did he pray? I think there's an umbrella here that we can understand all of these things, and it goes with these two titles. Jesus is Redeemer, and Jesus is King. Redeemer and King. These are the two missions that he came to fulfill and is coming to us. First, Jesus is Redeemer. He came to buy back that which was lost. He came to bridge the gap that had been caused between man and God because of our sin. If sin is like the Grand Canyon, this huge chasm that none of us can cross, it doesn't matter how high I can jump, it doesn't matter how fast I can run, I can't cross it alone, then Jesus is that God-man who came to bridge the gap. He came to stand in the place, so eloquently portrayed here on our crucifix. The cross stands in the gap between man and God. And Jesus comes to redeem us, to save us from our sins, and to restore us back to the Father. That's part of his identity that led to his mission. He is Redeemer. But secondly, Jesus is a king. He's a ruler, a governor. We'll celebrate Christ the King here at the end of November, that great solemnity at the end of our liturgical year, highlighting Jesus in his governing, his ruling, his kingship. Jesus, as he walked this earth, often announced, "The kingdom of God is at hand for you." He sent John the Baptist ahead of him to be his herald, to tell people, "Get ready, the king is coming. There's a new kingdom." He told parable after parable of kings, inviting people to faith, inviting people to the kingdom. Jesus is a ruler who loves his subjects. He loves his citizens, and he'll do anything to serve them. And he could do it all on his own. He's all powerful, right? He's the God-man. Jesus doesn't need any help. He could completely govern this kingdom by his own will and by his own power, healing all the sick, bringing all to faith. He doesn't need any help, but he chooses to need help. He chooses to involve sinful men and sinful women in his kingdom. It's a new kind of order that Jesus established. He comes to establish a kingdom upon which he sits on the throne, but then he involves us in part of that mission of redemption and that mission of ruling. This is where our feast day today, I think, can be situated. The feast of Saints Simon and Jude, two of the apostles. In our windows around the church, we see the 12 apostles and the way that our Lord Jesus, the great King of Kings, chose to found his church, found the kingdom of God, found the communion of saints. He founded it upon these 12. We heard that in the gospel, that he goes up on the mountain to pray, he calls his disciples to himself, and he appoints 12 as apostles. Apostle means to be sent. And so he gathered his followers, his disciples, and then he chose some of them to be sent and some of them to found his church upon. That's where this feast day of Saint Simon and Jude finds itself. Simon and Jude were those witnesses. They were those foundation stones upon which the household of God would be built. And even that word witness, they were witnesses of what Jesus had done. And that word witness in Greek is martyr. And so they would witness not only with their lives what Jesus had done for us, but they would witness it also with their blood. The blood symbolized in the red vestments that we wear today, the feast day of martyrs, those who had shed their blood for the faith. This is who Saint Jude is and was. He was a witness. He was a martyr. He was an ambassador of Jesus in his kingdom. As I said, Jesus didn't need any help, but he chose these men and he chose women and he chose all kinds of people to have roles of service in his kingdom. Now, we're the parish of Saint Jude of the Lake, and you may not even know that much about Saint Jude. You might think, wow, I really haven't heard that much about him. I've read some of the Bible, and he's barely there. And you're right. His name isn't in the scriptures very often. It's in today's gospel in the choosing of the 12. We know that he's at the Last Supper. He's at different places along Jesus' ministry. But we don't know that many details. But what we do know about him, I think, can help us understand our role in the kingdom, our role in the church. One first thing I want to point out is that he's often pictured with a flame on his head. You see in the statue over here, this wooden statue, he has a flame. This is a reminder of us that St. Jude was one of those 12 apostles who received the Holy Spirit at its coming at Pentecost. You remember Jesus died on Good Friday. He rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. He ascended back into heaven. And then on Pentecost, he sent the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and Mary in the upper room. And they received the Holy Spirit. They received his power and his authority that they would go out in the name of Jesus and proclaim his word and preach and teach and heal and minister. So St. Jude has that flame as a reminder to us that he was one who was sent. Not with his own power, but with the power that came from on high, the power and authority of Almighty God. And then he has another image in this statue and in the one in the sanctuary here. He's almost always wearing an image of a face. You might wonder why. Why does he have that face? Who is that? Well, it's the face of Jesus. And it doesn't come from a story that's in the Bible. You'll search high and low in the Bible and you'll never find this story. But it comes to us from a story outside the Bible, an extra biblical source, a legendary story that was told about St. Jude. You see, when St. Jude walked this earth with Jesus and the other apostles, there was a story that a king from another land, the king of Edessa, reached out to Jesus, the King of Kings, because he had heard that Jesus was a great healer. He heard that he was a great miracle worker and had great power. And the king of Edessa had a skin disease, a leprosy of sorts. And he couldn't be healed. He tried all the different remedies in his own kingdom, and he couldn't be healed. So he sends an envoy from his kingdom to Jesus, asking, begging that Jesus would heal him, that he would come and heal him, or that he would intercede or do some miraculous work like he had heard about. And instead of going himself, or instead of snapping his fingers and healing him on the spot some hundreds and thousands of miles away, Jesus instead sent an ambassador. He sent St. Jude. And so St. Jude goes from Jesus to the king of Edessa and brings this healing image of Jesus' face. Jesus had pressed it perhaps on a cloth or something. And so St. Jude brings this to the king, and it restores him to complete health. It restores his skin like a newborn baby. And so that's why he's always holding this image of Jesus' face. It's a nice story. But I think it's something that can teach us, what's our role in the kingdom? What's our role in the church, in the communion of saints? It's similar to St. Jude's, that we are those witnesses. We are those ambassadors of Jesus. You see, St. Jude received Jesus. He walked with him. He talked with him. He received him in Holy Communion. St. Jude received our Lord. And then he brought him to other people. He received Jesus, and then he brought Jesus. He has this image of Jesus right on his chest. What a great witness for us, that we can be sent out as ambassadors of Jesus, saying, look at the Jesus whom I've received, and invite others to receive him too. Isn't that the mission of our church? Even the mission of our parish, that we would be disciples and make disciples. That's what we hear in the gospel today, that Jesus brought his disciples to himself and he chose some to be apostles. That's the mission statement of our parish, to be disciples and to make disciples, to go on apostolic ventures like St. Jude, that we who have received Jesus might bring him to other people. This is the great responsibility and privilege, brothers and sisters, of being a follower of Jesus, that we would bear his face to the world, that we would share his beauty, that we would heal and teach in his name. And so as we celebrate this, our patronal feast, let's look to St. Jude. Let's look to him as our model of discipleship and apostleship, that we who have received Jesus, even here in this Holy Mass, might bring him back to the world.